There's Rath Hashem. Today we are doing our first session of Daf Ches, page 8. There's Rath Hashem. What I'd like to do is first just do a bit of a background, a brief summary of where we're holding so that each session, each week, we can stand on solid ground. So the background over here, very simple point that we discussed quite extensively yesterday, but in very simple terms. We basically put aside the entire search for a source that a positive outweighed a negative with Kores. We were unsuccessful in finding a prototype that shows that an assay, a positive, is doche a loitz assay shiyesh by Kores. We tried really 6 different attempts, and all of these were either said to be not good examples. The examples where the positive won, when the positive overrode the negative, we said they're not good examples. And whenever we found a case with the negative overriding the positive, we said they're not good inverse examples. And in the end, we said a positive does not override a negative with Kores as far as we can prove. So we come back to our original question, and now the question becomes, why do we need the word Aleha? Now, what does that mean? We have a situation with Yibum, that is the positive commandment, and a secondary Erva, which is a negative commandment, let's say, for example, one's daughter or one's wife's sister. Now, what we pointed out was that these two are only sometimes in conflict. Why are they sometimes in conflict? Because the negative of one's wife's sister or one's daughter is a very broad negative that occurs in many different scenarios. It's not always going to be in the case of Yibum. It's in a very broad area of life. Similarly, the positive commandment of Yibum occurs in many different circumstances that do not necessarily conflict with one's wife's sister. There is a very narrow case, a very narrow situation where Yibum is going to occur and overlap with the prohibition of one's wife's sister. The overlap between these two mitzvahs, Yibum, the positive, and one's wife's sister, the negative, is quite a narrow overlap, and there are many cases where they don't overlap. And our question is, in the situation where they do overlap, why do we need the word aleha to tell you that you don't do the positive? You see over here, we're pushing aside the positive, and we need the word aleha to tell you that you don't do the positive. And our question is, why do I need the word aleha? Don't say anything. And if you don't say anything, which one's going to win? This was our whole share yesterday. If I just keep quiet, which one is going to win? The negative's going to win. So why do I need the word aleha? Just tell me that there's a mitzvah of Yibum and that there's a prohibition of one's wife's sister. And when they come into conflict, I will automatically know that the positive gets pushed aside by the negative. So our question is, why do we need the word aleha? Now, we try to say, that was our last few daf, was to try and say that it's because the positive pushes aside the negative with Kores, and that's why I need the word aleha to tell you in this case the positive doesn't win. But we haven't proven that. So it seems like when you have a positive against a negative with Kores, the negative wins. So why do I need the word aleha? And that's really our daf for today, for this week, really. Why do we need the word aleha to tell me that the positive gets beaten by the negative? That's the background over here. Now, what we saw on 7...
Bevo?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, can I just ask you something? I'm seeing what you're saying yesterday. Is it not possible that... how do you know that Lorti Kach applies to Yibum as well? Because maybe Aleha is coming to tell us that you can, because it's in both passages, maybe it's coming to tell us that you can take the system Yibum. We haven't proved that you can't.
Okay, you're asking a very good question. It's a very deep question, and I think that your question is dealt with by the Tosfos that I got a bit unstuck with yesterday. We need to look at that Tosfos very carefully, and we'll take. We need to take a look at that together, Blinada. Okay, but for our purposes, I want to keep things very simple at the moment. We're trying to understand, why do I need the word aleha to tell me not to do Yibum? Surely I should just be quiet and I would know not to do Yibum. So, what did we see? This was unsuccessful to say, Asa is doicha loitzot say shiyosh boi kares. So the Gemara says, let's learn it from standard Yibum. Meaning, what are we saying? In the case of standard Yibum, Gary, if you don't mind to mute yourself or whoever's unmuted. What are we saying? In the case of standard Yibum, the positive wins over the negative. So if I would learn across from standard Yibum, I might have thought that the positive wins. That's why I need the word Aleha to tell me that in this case, the negative wins. That would have been my Havamina. In other words, the word Aleha is coming to block a limud to learn from standard Yibum. Now remember that standard Yibum is a case of always versus sometime. What do I mean by that? That means the prohibition of one's brother's wife is a broad prohibition that occurs in many different circumstances. The mitzvah of Yibum always occurs with one's brother's wife. And therefore, when the Torah tells you to do Yibum, the Torah is clearly cognizant, it's aware of the fact that you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife, and obviously the Torah is telling you that in this case, the negative wins. So that's how we know that a brother's wife is permitted, that the positive wins over here. In other words, this is not because of Asay Doicha Loisasay, this is because Hashem clearly was telling you that the Loisasay doesn't apply over here. Now, what are we suggesting? I might have thought to learn from standard Yibum to a case of Yibum with a secondary Erva. That's why I need the word Aleha to tell me that in fact don't do Yibum and the negative wins in this case. Now this error over here is our entire da. How might you have thought to learn from standard Yibum to Yibum with an Erva? Says the Gemara, and this we already saw on last week's da. The Gemara says, this is on the Zayin Amud Aleph, learn it from a Dovar Shoya Bichlal. Principle number 8 of the 13 hermeneutical principles is that something that was part of a group, i.e. one's brother's wife was part of the group of forbidden relationships, and it was singled out to tell you that it's permitted, it's coming to reflect on the entire set, on the entire group. Said the Gemara, this is not a Dovar Shoya Bichlal, this is a principle number 11, where it was singled out to tell you that it's an exception. So that's not going to be how we would transfer from standard Yibum to justify the word Aleha. So the Gemara then says, fine, let's learn it from a Binyan Av, which is principle number 3. That says, just as over here it's an Erva, and we ignore the Erva to do the mitzvah, so too over here it's an Erva, and we should ignore the Erva to do the mitzvah. That's why I need the word Aleha. So this would justify the word Aleha. Says the Gemara, but that's not true, because the Binyan Av is no good. Why is the Binyan Av no good? Because this is only one Isur, whereas over here there are two Isurim. The one Isur over here is Eishes Ach, one's brother's wife, and over here there are two Isurim, which is Achos Isha, one also it is one's wife's sister. And therefore it's not a good Binyan Av. So the Gemara finally says, well, let's use the principle of Ishtari. What does the principle of Ishtari say? I can piggyback. Once I'm removing one negative, I might have thought I can remove the other negative. That's why I need the word Aleha to tell you that the negative wins over the positive. Now this principle of Ishtari we spent some time learning about, and I want to remind you, where do we prove the concept of Ishtari? The concept of Ishtari was proven from the case of a Metzora, where as a Metzora, he's allowed to insert his thumbs into the Beis HaMikdash. Why? In order to purify himself. The Torah tells you, now by the way, that's a case where the Torah itself is telling you to ignore the negative. The Torah tells the Metzora, go and stick your thumbs into the Beis HaMikdash. And we hold that a partial entry into the Beis HaMikdash is like a full entry. What do we see? That we override the negative to do the positive. Says the Gemara, similarly, when he's a Baal Keri and it's Erev Pesach and it's urgent for him to purify himself, he's allowed to put his thumbs into the Beis HaMikdash even though he's a Baal Keri, and a Baal Keri is another Isser. Meaning the Isser of a Baal Keri inserting his thumbs into the Beis HaMikdash is piggybacking on top of the fact that he's a Metzora. So the two Aveiras are a Metzora entering the Beis HaMikdash and a Baal Keri entering the Beis HaMikdash. And what we're doing is we're piggybacking the Baal Keri together with the Metzora. So we see from there the principle of Ishtari, which says once I'm removing one Aveira, I can remove the other Aveira. So we're suggesting the reason why I need the word Aleha is because I might have thought that the prohibition of one's wife's sister can piggyback on the prohibition of one's brother's wife. That's why I have the word aleha. Okay, quite complicated, but I think if we build it up step by step, it is possible to understand it. So you should be able to see my Gemara now. And where we're holding now is, I want to just read those last words. Hoyel, since, v'hutar litzara osoi, since he's allowed to insert his thumbs because of his tzaras, hutar lekiruyoi, he's permitted to insert his thumbs because of his keri. So we see the concept of ishtari. And I want to just emphasize that we've successfully proven why we would need the word aleha is to block the ishtari, to block this mechanism over here. Says the Gemara as follows.
So, how does Ula fit back into the bride's back? So the bride is talking about the normal asa. She ain't more current. I mean, it's not really the same situation. Do you talking about putting stones into the Azorah within the first time Paris, both the Valkyrie and the Mystery?
Yes. So, there is a bit of a jump before Ulla steps in, but leave it for now if you don't mind. What Ulla's telling us is, you see, there's two stages. When he enters the outer, the Harabayis, there it's only a rabbinic prohibition as a Baal Keri from entering the Harabayis. But when he comes to stick his thumbs into the actual sanctuary, there it is a Isur Kares for a Metzoira, and it's a Isur Kares for a Baal Keri. And because it's permitted for the Metzoira, because of his instructed in the Torah, is also permitted for the Baal Keri. Leave it at that. Your question is really Tosus's question against Rashi, if I'm not mistaken. Says the Gemara, Mi dami ledu Ula. Is it really the same case as Ula? Now, what is the Gemara asking? The Gemara is saying like this. You're telling me that this principle of Ishtari is the reason why we need the word Aleha, meaning that I would have thought that the prohibition of one's wife's sister piggybacks on the prohibition of one's brother's wife and gets removed, and that's why I need the word aleha. So what are the two aveirot in the case of Yibum? The bottom aveirot, so to speak, is one's brother's wife. And the aveirot on top of it is one's wife's sister that's getting a free ride and getting permitted, if not for the word aleha. And what's going to be the two aveirot in the case of Metzora? The prohibition of a person with tzaraas entering the Beit HaMikdash, and the prohibition of a person with a Baal Keri entering the Beit HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, they're not really the same. Why? Because the Gemara explains as follows. Mi dami ledu Ula. Is it really the same as the case of Ula? Meaning, is the case of Yibum the same as the case of the Metzora? Tinach, it's all very well. Heichet and Nosa Meis, if the dead brother got married first, Bacharkach Nosachai, and afterwards the living brother got married. Now listen to this, it's very straightforward. I don't have pictures today of this one, but it's very straightforward. If we got Reuben and Shimon, remember Reuben was married to a woman and then Reuben dies without children, the woman falls to Yibum, to Shimon. So Reuben was married to Rachel and Shimon was married to Leah, the sister. Now if Reuben married Rachel and then afterwards Shimon married Leah, so then Rachel was first Shimon's brother's wife, and afterwards she became Shimon's wife's sister. You see, which Aveira came first? Which Isur came first? If Reuben marries first, then she's first Shimon's brother's wife, and then afterwards becomes his wife's sister when he marries Leah. But if Shimon marries first, the first Aveira, the bottom Aveira, is going to be the prohibition of one's wife's sister. So again, Tinach, it's all very well, Heichet and Nosa Meis. When first the brother, the deceased, i.e. Reuven, he married first, Vacharkach Nosa Chai, and afterwards got married the living brother, the Migoy, since the Ishtari Isra Eishet Ach. Once we are removing the prohibition of one's brother's wife, Ishtari Nami Isur Achos Isha, we are also going to remove the prohibition of one's wife's sister. Elanoso Chai, But if first the living brother married, that means if Shimon first married Leah, so then what's Rachel's relationship to him? She's his wife's sister. V'acharkach nosameis. And then afterwards the deceased brother married Rachel, Isur achos isha kadim. Then the first aveira is one's wife's sister and not one's brother's wife. What the Gemara is asking is, the Gemara's understanding is that to use the principle of ishtari, you have one aveira and then you overlay a second aveira on top of it. So in order for that to work in Yibum, you have to first have the aveira of, you have to first have the aveira of Eishes Ach, your brother's wife, and afterwards the aveira of Achot Isha, your wife's sister. And the way that would happen is if Reuven married first and then Shimon married the sister. And now the Gemara says further, Vafilu Nasa Meis, even if the deceased married first. That means, let's say Reuven married Rachel and afterwards Shimon married Leah, Nami. The Gemara says, even in that case, Tinach, it's all very well, Heicha, when the Nasa Meis, that the deceased married Umeis, and then he died, and she fell in Yibum, V'acharkach Nosachai, and afterwards, Shimon married the sister. Why? Dechazile Baini Baini. She was suitable to him in the interim. Says the Gemara, interesting case. Reuben marries Rachel, and then dies. Rachel falls to Yibum and Shimon. But before Shimon does the Yibum, Shimon goes and marries her sister. So what's happened? You've overlaid the prohibition of your wife's sister onto the brother's wife. The Gemara says, for a short period of time, she was suitable to him. Elanosa meis veloy meis. If Reuben first married Rachel and he didn't yet die, v'acharkach nosachai, and Shimon married Leah, lo yichazilei klal. There was never a moment where she was suited to him. What the Gemara is really saying is that if before Reuben died, Shimon was already married to the sister, she's not in the parasha of Yibum because the two Isurim really are coming together, they're simultaneous. In order for there to be a concept of Ishtari over here, you have to have Reuben marries Rachel, he dies, Rachel falls to Yibum to Shimon. Before Shimon does Yibum, he marries Leah, and then we overlay the prohibition of one's wife's sister on top of the prohibition of one's brother's wife. Why is that a requirement? The Gemara says, Mi loy moidi ula. Would Ula not agree? She'im ra keri belel shmini, that if he had his seminal emission the previous night, on the eighth night, she'ein machnis yodav levohinos. He's not allowed to put his fingers into the Beis HaMikdash, she'lo yotza b'shah she'iru yolavi b'korban, because there was never a moment when he could possibly bring a korban. You see, Ula's case is when he was a Metzora, and then he became a Baal Keri on the day of the 8th. That means he woke up in the morning, and he was already suitable to go to the Beis HaMikdash. He could have brought his korban at that point, but he didn't. He became a Baal Keri. So there was a short window where the one Aveira was in place and not the other Aveira. But if they were both always together, then we don't say the principle of Ishtari. So what the Gemara has really said is, you want to tell me Ishtari? Where did you get the concept of Ishtari from? You got the concept of Ishtari from the case of the Metzora who's a Baal Keri. But it's not the same, because in the case of Yibum, you have to get the sequence right. You see, in the case of the Metzora, he was first a Metzora, and then we piggybacked on top of that, he became a Baal Keri. Whereas in the case of Yibum, it could be either way around. She could first be Eishes Ach and then Achos Isha, or she could first be Achos Isha and then Eishes Ach. So it's only in 50% of the cases can you say Ishtari. And even if she was first Eishes Ach and afterwards became Achos Isha, it's only going to work if Reuben died before Shimon married Leah, because then there was a short window where she was permitted to him, so then you would have this principle of Ishtari. So the Gemara is basically saying, 50% of the time, Shimon married first. So it's already out the picture, there's no Ishtari. And even when Reuben marries first, it's only going to work if Reuben died and Shimon married Leah after that. which is an even more narrow case. And by the way, it's a bizarre case, and it's interesting practically to say, if you're allowed to do that, to marry the sister quickly and make the first sister forbidden to him in Yibum. That's an interesting case. But what we're coming out with over here is that we found Ishtari would be a mechanism that would transfer a heter from standard Yibum to Yibum with an erva, and would explain why we need the word aleha. But the Gemara says it's only in a very narrow case. The Gemara says, Elaki itzrich aleha, when do we need the word aleha? Hecha denosa meis, when the deceased brother married first, umeis, and then he died, v'chakas nosachai, and afterwards the living brother married. And that's a bizarre thing the Gemara is telling us. Why do we need the word aleha? Because I may have thought that in the case of Ishtari, that you would do Yibam with the wife's sister. Which would be that case? When Reuben married first, Reuben died, and then Shimon married the sister, then I might have thought you do Yibam, that's what the word aleha is for. So what we're really saying is that the word aleha is coming for a very narrow circumstance where you may have thought that you do Yibam to the wife's sister. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. I want to see some Rashis on that. Let's take a look at the Rashis together. Let's look at the Rashis. Tinach. Yeah, go ahead.
But we seem to use Mitzvah Asa quite generally. So it seems that's such a specific case.
Well, this is not Asa Doche Loi Sase. That's not what's happening over here. We're not operating in the world of Asa Doche Loi Sase. This case of Yibum is not Asa Doche Loi Sase. This is Hashem told you what to do. Hashem told you that you must do the positive, and Hashem knew about the negative. So Hashem basically scrapped the negative. There isn't a negative over here, because this is a case of always, sometimes. I mean, there's always going to be Yibum in the case of Eishes Ach, and therefore Hashem obviously was removing the negative over here. So this is not a case where they're in tension. They're not in tension over here. And what we're saying is you could have thought to learn from here across to here using one of these mechanisms. We're not in the world of Asa Doche Loi Sase. We're in the world of learning through a mechanism, an arbitrary mechanism, that maybe you should do Yibum. And that's why the word Aleo says, don't do Yibum. That's what the word Aleo is coming to do. Take a look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Tinach Hecho Denosa Hameis. This is all very well if the deceased brother married first. Es Ishazu Tchila. That first Reuben married Rachel, and first became the brother's wife, and afterwards the living brother married her sister, and was added on a further secondary erva of the wife's sister on his yavama. And when the brother dies without children, the ishtar roi, and we are lifting Isur Eishes Ach, the prohibition of one's brother's wife, hamuktam, which came first, ishtar roi nami achos isha, we also are going to make permitted the wife's sister, hamuchar, which came second. Kedu'ula, like Ula to Omar, who said, hoi v'huta l'tarosoi, since he's allowed to put his fingers in for his taras, shehi rishoino, because the taras came first, he's allowed for his carry, Shu'achron, which came second. If you're going to parallel the two cases, you need the case that's going to be lifted to be first, and then piggybacking onto that, you need the case that's getting the free ride. But Elanosa Hachai, if first the living brother married Ishtoi Tchila, in other words, if Shimon, the surviving brother, married first, then Rachel is first her. It's first his wife's sister, v'acharkach nosa ochi v'meis, and then afterwards Reuben marries, in other words, the deceased brother married, before he died, obviously, v'nitoisef isur eishes ach, isur achos isha kodim. So if the prohibition of one's brother's wife comes after the isur of one's wife's sister, v'afal gav duhutar isur achron, even if you remove the prohibition of one's brother's wife, oimed rishon bim koimoi, the first one remains in its place. Now, it's fascinating. You basically are saying that if you've got one on top of the other and I remove the bottom one, then the top one comes off. But if you put the, if you remove the top one, the bottom one doesn't come off. And therefore, you have to have a situation where the first came the Eshet Ach, the brother's wife, and afterwards came the Achus Isha, the wife's sister. Continues Rashi, Bafilo Nosa Meis Nami. Even if the deceased brother married first, i.e. Reuben married first for Rasha, the Kodim Le'isa Eshet Ach. In other words, the first prohibition was one's brother's wife. Loi Damila de Ula. It's not the same as the case of Ula. The Hossam over there, Haroya Keri Vashmini. He had a seminal emission on day 8, Shaloi, Kvar Hayom Mutar Ma'isur Arishoy. It was already permitted from the first prohibition, Koidem Riyas HaKeri, before he had the seminal emission, Mishahei Ramizrach, when the east, when the sun rose on the 8th day. V'hokonami, here as well, Tinach, it's all very well, Hecha Denosa Meis, Umeis, it's all very well if the deceased brother married first, and then he died, Tchila, V'hutar Isur Eishetach, and the prohibition of one's brother's wife was lifted, in other words, there's a period where it's actually permitted, V'acharkach Nosachai Tachoyso, and afterwards, the living brother married the sister. Ela Nosa Meis V'loi Meis, but if the deceased brother married first, but he didn't yet die, Ad She Nosachai, and the surviving brother already married the sister, Tachoyso, the sister, Haloi Yitzchazoi Klal, there was never a moment where she was permitted to him. Umiloi Moida Ula, would Ula not agree? Because high government in such a case, Shimro Keli Bukeri Belel Yom Shmini, if he saw the Keri the previous night, She'ein Machnis Yodov, Machol Avohoinos, that he cannot put his thumbs into the Beis HaMikdash, Mishum Keri, because of the Mekeri. The Ma'akevala is going to stop him. Ho'ovelo Yotzo Mitzar Osoi, he never went out with his Tzarat, L'sho HaRu'uyo, to a period where it was possible Lavas Korbanosov to bring his Korban. The Koidem Shehutza Mitzarosoi, before the Tzaras was permitted to be removed, Baal of Keri, the Keri came first. So the Gemara is basically saying it's only in a very narrow circumstance that you're going to need the word Aleo. So the Gemara says indeed, Ki Itzrich Aleo, when do we need the word Aleo? L'nosa Meis Umeis, V'achartach Nosa Chai. The word Aleha will only be needed in this very narrow situation where the brother, the deceased brother married, he then died, and then the surviving brother married the sister afterwards. Then you have this piggyback, I might have thought that you do Yibum to your wife's sister, that's what the word Aleha came for. So we've explained why I need the word Aleha. I need the word Aleha to block a potential ishtari in this very narrow circumstance. I'd like to read another little bit to see where the Gemara is going to go now. The Gemara says the following. It says, V'ibois Eima, alternatively, I can find another mechanism. You see all of these arrows here? Ishtari has now become one of our successful mechanisms of how you could have transferred theoretically from standard Yibum to the case of a secondary Erva, and that's why I need the word Oleo. The Gemara is now going to introduce another channel over here connecting standard Yibum with a brother's wife to Yibum with a secondary Erva where she's also the wife's sister. V'ibois Eimo, if you want, I can tell you, Atya Ve'ekesha Midrabi Yoino. You can learn it from a Hekesh. Now, a Hekesh is a different mechanism. What's the mechanism of a Hekesh? Mechanism of a Hekesh says there are two things in the same Pasuk. When the Pasuk connects two things together, says the Gemara Asya Ve'ekesha Rabbi Yoino. I can learn it from a Hekesh from Rabbi Yoino, Ve'itame Rav Huna Vred Rav Yeshua. And some say it was Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua. Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, regarding all the forbidden relations, Ki kol asher yaseh mikol ha'tovei sa'eleh, anyone that does any of these disgusting things, the nichrusu will get kares. Now this is a pasuk that connects all of the arayas together. Hukshu kol ha'arayas kulon la'ishetach. It connects all of the forbidden relations to one's brother's wife. Ma'ishetach sharia. I might have thought just as one's brother's wife is permitted to do yibum. Af kol arayas nami sharia. I might have thought all the other forbidden relations you can do yibum. That's what the word Aleha is for. You can see I've marked this as a separate sugya because it's a new angle. It's now suggesting not Ishtari, but in fact another channel that I could have learned from standard Yibum to Yibum with an Erva, and that's the channel of a Hekesh where I've got a pasuk that actually connects them together. But a pasuk that actually connects them together, the pasuk lumps together all of the arayas. I might have thought since they're all lumped together, they're connected to Eishet Ach, and therefore you're allowed to do Yibum even to one's wife's sister. That's what I need the word Aleah for. So we're introducing another channel over here, a parallel channel. Let's just take a look at the Rashi, and we'll stop for today. The Rashi says, V'ibo Yisraimah, if you want, I can tell you, it's Trich Aleah. I need the word Aleah. D'iloi Kasve, if I didn't have the word Aleah, Hava Amin, I would have thought, Taisi Yibum, Achos Isha, that I would learn the Yibum of one's wife's sister, Lahatir, that it's permitted, the Hekesh of Rabbi Yoina, with the Hekesh of Rabbi Yoina. The other Rabbi Yoina said, Ki kol ha-shuyas and kol ha-tov ha-isa'ele, anyone that does any of these despicable acts, Hukshu kol ha-arayas zulazu, all of the arayas are connected one to another. The Inyan ha-ara konosiv lei, it's with regard to a particular detail of immorality or of arayas. Ha-ara means penetration, which is at what point has a person done the actual act of arayas. That's where Rabbi Yoina learns it from Baha Yavim Toi. It's in a later chapter here in Yavamis. Hachinami, here also, Havamina would have thought, Hukshu Kulan Aishas Ach. I could have thought that they were all connected to Aishas Ach. Va'afal Gav Dehochachad Isura, Vachatre Isuri. Now Rashi says, why couldn't you say that I could break the Hekesh by saying that they're different because here there's two Averas and there there's only one? Ein Meshivin Ala Hekesh. You're not allowed to challenge a Hekesh, Lahachi Istrich Aleah. And that's why we need the word Aleah. So Rashi says a fascinating thing. We're introducing another channel over here and saying, how would I potentially learn from standard Yibum to Yibum with an Erva using a Hekesh? Oh, this is one Aveira, i.e. it's only one's brother's wife. And over here it's two, it's one's brother's wife and one's wife's sister. You're not allowed to ask that kind of question on a Hekesh. Remember that a Hekesh is one of the mechanisms that is not logical. It's basically the Torah made the connection, and therefore the fact that I can ask a pircha, you can't ask a pircha on a hekesh. Okay, and that is what we're going to cover for today. We are really homing in now, and we're in the final stretch of the sugya. I know it's been a long sugya and it's complex. Baruch Hashem, I think we got it clear. One needs to just hold all the pieces together. But what we're trying to do is understand, why do I need the word Aleha to tell you that you don't do Yibum with your wife's sister? And we've come with two possible answers. Either because of Ishtari in that very narrow case where the deceased married first and then the died and then the living brother married, or alternatively because of the Hekesh of Rabbi Yoina. Again, I want to just point out, this Gemara is so rich with every single mechanism you're going to see in Shas, almost every mechanism you're going to see in Shas. We've seen Kal V'Chomer, we've seen Binyan Av, we've seen Dovah Shoya V'Chla, we've seen Hekesh, we sing Asidu Chaloisa. There's so much going on in the sugya. Please God, we're going to come to the end of the sugya very soon, at the end of the stuff, basically. And one really has an incredible package of so much rich Gemara principles. Stop over here. Please God, we'll carry on to tomorrow.